With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I broke a traffic law big time on my way into work on Wednesday night. And I apologize, but thankfully there was no one really to apologize to on the roads because there were very few vehicles that were traveling on the highways around the New York City metro. It was still snowing hard when I came into work. I guess that'd be five and a half hours ago. Sorry. More than that. But when I first got on the roads, slow and the speed limits are reduced and there was a lot of snow, both falling from the sky and also on my car. There's a law that you're supposed to take all of the snow off of your car. I'm not sure what got into me yesterday. I did no shoveling, and I didn't even clean off my car. I started it, and I let the heat warm up the windshield and then just used the wipers and never did scrape any of the snow off my car. I just left it on the car, and I don't know how much of it's probably still on the car sitting outside, maybe covered. I did put the shovel in my trunk just in case I would have to shovel my way in or out of a parking spot in New York. Yeah, I think I got jealous of everybody else talking about snow days. My niece getting 2 days off in the D.C. area for 5 inches of snow. Are you kidding me? That's why she's excited about a spring snowstorm. 8-9 inches roughly at my house, and I never shoveled, and I didn't clean off the car, and I just kind of enjoyed the snow day, my faux snow day myself, just staying in the house. Also, we kind of found out it was optional to come to work yesterday. I had no idea. If I had known, sign me up, but somehow
Suspension.
Oh, don't make me laugh. The memo somehow did not reach the After Hours crew.
Yeah, there was a memo. It just didn't come to the overnight.
We didn't realize that it was optional to come into work. So we're here. Hello.
I took some NyQuil. Got 10 hours of sleep.
Oh, I don't remember the last time that happened, but vacation is coming, baby. 7.5 weeks away. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio.
Rest stuff just drives me crazy. You're playing basketball for a living, okay? Excuse me.
He's trying to prepare his employers for the moment when he calls in sick.
It's over.
It's over. That's kind of what people were doing yesterday.
Mamba,
they were
out.
Calling in sick because you're not all like Kobe Bryant. You just can't say Mamba out, drop the mic and leave. You know what went through my mind as we heard Kevin McHale talk about you play basketball for a living? We talk about sports for a living. It's really not physically taxing. Though somehow I'm always starving when I get home in the morning. I have no idea why talking burns so many calories. I mean, it might just be because I talk more than the average human. Maybe. And so I was lazy yesterday, but I'm still burning calories by running my mouth. How about that? We're live inside the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Before Kevin McHale cut me off, I was saying that we were fantasizing about the boys of summer and the Major League Baseball season that starts a week from today. Did you know that? It's not April 7th. It's not April 8th. It's not April 9th. The season has moved up to March 29th, and every single team is in action on opening day. So we don't have midweek opening day and then opening night and then another opening day and then the home opening day. No, this is everybody starting on the same day, March 29th. It's a new feature in the collective bargaining agreement between the league and the union because they want to have more days off. Similar to what the NBA did this year in spacing out its season, starting a little bit earlier so that...
No days off!
Sorry, Bill, you're the only one who believes in that theory. So that teams would have, you know, a day off built in as opposed to three games in four nights in four different cities. That kind of stuff isn't happening anymore. And the NBA and Major League Baseball is following suit, giving its players and its teams extra time off, a few extra days off. But the other idea is about the travel, too. When you have stretches where you're 17, 18, 19 days in a row, which happens a lot in Major League Baseball, there might be makeup games and makeup dates after rain or weather postponements earlier in the season, it becomes just becomes a blur, I think. And so it's good for the players to have those couple extra days off to be their best still at the end of the season, if that's possible. Everybody's dealing with something, right? After 162 games, we're about to start game number one. So we're asking you, which of the off-season moves in Major League Baseball, Yu Darvish, Evan Longoria, Jake Arrieta, J.D. Martinez, Giancarlo Stanton, Andrew McCutchen, Brandon Morrow is another one that I think could make a big difference. There are a lot of different moves. And even though they took well into spring training to play out, even Cobb ending up with the Orioles in the last couple of days, there are a lot of different moves that took into spring training to play out because this was a different type of a hot stove. However, most of the guys have found a home now. So which move do you think will carry the greatest impact as they launch into their season March 29th? Think about it. Next Thursday, beginning of Major League Baseball. So opening day, opening night. And then you've got, it's Easter weekend. So you've got Good Friday, followed by the national semifinals at the Final Four in San Antonio for the men. The women are the same weekend, but they play Sunday, Tuesday. Easter is Sunday. Then Monday would be the men's Final Four, the men's championship. The women follow that. 2 days later, you're into the Masters, which is the first full week of April. Plus, we're going to have the end of the NBA and the NHL regular seasons. They start their postseasons mid-April. It becomes absolutely insane. So buckle up is what I have to say. And don't forget the draft is late in April as well. We're having more and more pro days too. So there's a lot to digest now in sports as the month of April is similar to October where there's a little bit of everything going on. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. And then our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, some of you posting about Major League Baseball and also giving me tricks to help my dog look at the phone when I want to take her picture. I feel like the picture was fine. I wasn't totally lazy on our snow day. I did go outside to let Penny play in the snow. Why did it matter? Yeah, that's what she does inside when I say, hey, we're going to go outside for a walk. We're going to play in the snow. And then I don't hurry up. I don't get dressed quickly enough. The dog follows me around the house. Exactly. With the look in her big brown eyes, like, Mom, you said. And then she does this. It's not quite that audible, but she does this singing. It's like a sing-song whine. And yeah, it always comes with the wagging of the tail as though that's supposed to soften the blow some, the impatience. But I had to take her out yesterday, and you can blame me for Winter Storm Toby. There's a reason why Winter Storm Toby occurred yesterday, and it has to do with my dog. But I'm not going to tell you why. You have to check it out. It's pinned to the top of my Twitter page, A-Law Radio, complete with what I think is a great picture of Penny. So, yes, pinned to the top of Twitter. You can check it out there, too. And lots of you also telling us you're listening on our new Sirius XM channel, 206. We found the new home. Not split channels. There's not a different channel for the app. We are straight up 206 on satellite radio or on the Sirius XM app. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Started a healthy debate last hour about the Raptors' loss to the Cleveland Cavaliers last night in Cleveland. To me, it's not that the Raptors lost, okay? They'd been playing, I think it was third game in four nights or third game in five nights. So it's end of the regular season. DeMar DeRozan's not completely healthy. He did play last night, but you could tell that he was still not as explosive and able to push off as much on the bruised thigh. It's one game, and maybe there's some fatigue there. It's not about the fact that they lost, because they beat Cleveland in January by 57 points or something like that. It was bad. It was a really bad blowout. It's the fact that the Raptors put 79 points on the board in the first half. They tied a franchise record for most points in the first half with 79, and they had a 15-point lead. I get it. It's the NBA, so everybody makes a run. It's the way that they couldn't put together a full game, whether it's fatigue, whatever it is. You could say the same thing about the Cavaliers. They were missing five players unavailable to them. Plus they don't have their head coach. So don't point to the fatigue of the Raptors. It's late in the season. They've had a tough stretch. Don't give me that. The Cavaliers had to go with essentially six guys and a bag of popcorn. I mean, they had LeBron James and Kevin Love and George Hill. That was the bulk of their offense. And LeBron took over in the second half. The defense shored up a little bit. The Toronto Raptors missed some shots in the second half, certainly as the Cavaliers were making their run there in the third quarter. But still, the Raptors had 99 points after three quarters. Do you know that the Spurs didn't score 99 points in their entire game last night? In fact, this is kind of crazy. This dawned on me last hour when I was talking about it. The Wizards, who are still without John Wall and have hit a wall, they scored 75 points in last night's game. The Raptors had more points in the first half than the Wizards had in their entire game on Wednesday night. So yeah, it's the regular season in the NBA and it's coming to a close. But the Raptors wasted 99 points. No, I just made that up. Wait, how did that happen? I swear, I'm looking at it now and that's not right. Recently, there was a game in which a team only scored 75. I feel like it was the Wizards, but it wasn't last night. So can we just scratch all that? Can you please take that out of the podcast? reset. We can't.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. You don't need to be sorry. I should stick with the Cavaliers and not go off the cuff. But there was a game recently where the Wizards only scored 75 points. They are struggling without John Wall. It wasn't last night. So it's how they lost. It's the fact that in Cleveland, Toronto scores nearly 100 points in three quarters and somehow can't fight their way through this. And why does it matter? It's only a regular season game, right? Why does it matter? It's on the road. They're tired. Because that's the kind of game they have to be able to win in the postseason. That's the kind of atmosphere they're going to face in the postseason, especially if they end up facing the Cavaliers. And they may not. Who knows how the postseason is going to play out? Right now, the Raptors are secure in that number one spot in the Eastern Conference. They've got a healthy 4.5-game lead over the Celtics, and time's running out. The Raptors have now played 72 games, so they have 10 left to go. The Celtics, similar boat. They have 11 left to go, I believe. So that lead should probably stand up. Cavaliers are in third, though the 76ers are coming. They've won 4 in a row, and they're now only a game and a half out of third place in the East. Think about that, the process. How much fun would that be if just in general they were able to host a series right now? They're in fourth place, so they would. But yeah, there's been a lot of jostling, a lot of movement. That game last night was, in my opinion, an opportunity for the Raptors to prove to themselves, forget everybody else, prove to themselves that with the playoffs on the horizon, knowing what you've run into with LeBron James and the Cavaliers in the past in the playoffs, recognizing that you need to get over this hump. You don't want to waste the number one seed. You've got a team that has played so well, especially in the second half. But those are the games you have to be able to win. It's about confidence. And yes, it's psychological. Don't give me some guy tried to feed me a line about how it's late in the season. They don't care. They just want to get to the playoffs. That's not the case with the Raptors. That might fly with the Cavaliers because they've got LeBron James and because they have been there, done that. But the Raptors haven't been there, done that. And so for me, it was about how they lost and that second half and coughing up the big lead and running out of gas and not being able to close it out. Those are the kinds of atmospheres and the kinds of challenges they will face on the road. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I did have a few Raptors fans call up and defend. My point is, until you do it in the postseason, until you prove it that you have crossed the rainbow bridge, until you have crossed over to the other side and you can win those kinds of series, very few people are going to take you seriously as a contender. That's my point. As for the Wizards number, well, I'm going to figure it out. But I clearly screwed that up. So there goes the perfect show. The Raptors may end up somewhere over the rainbow again if they can't win those kinds of games. By the way, I'm still getting tweets about best film soundtrack. Going back to Sunday, I'm still getting tweets and Facebook messages about best film soundtrack. That subject will never die. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Frazier, mid-post, Aldridge. Aldridge against Mahaney, back to the basket on the block, takes a baseline, off-balance jumper, good. 27 points for LaMarcus Aldridge. I said off-balance because he went off one foot, a la Dirk Nowitzki.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Two reasons why the San Antonio Spurs have won five consecutive games, even though Kawhi Leonard has not returned. Number one, LaMarcus Aldridge. Over this mini win streak, remember, it wasn't that long ago, they were hurtling backward into a deep black hole. No, I'm not kidding. Their rodeo road trip, tough. You know that, Coach Pop. But it's about LaMarcus Aldridge, who's averaging roughly 27 points and 10 rebounds over the course of this win streak. And again, they don't think they're going to have Kawhi Leonard back. I know the hope springs eternal, and they would love to. But considering what Manu Ginobili said yesterday, and I'll let you hear that in a moment, sounds like they recognize now that the hope is fading, has faded. So LaMarcus Aldridge, one reason why the Spurs have won five in a row. And Greg Popovich will tell you the other reason why the Spurs have won five in a row.
I think we lost enough to refocus, as simple as that sounds. But we talked about it. We worked on it in shoot-arounds when we didn't have practices. And they're an intelligent group, and they realize that if we don't get that back together, we got nothing. Because we slip out, offensively. Sometimes we can't score for 4 or 5 minutes, that kind of thing. So the defense is important. Tonight they played great defense, did a great job, and followed up with a board, and that won the game for us, playing the defense that we did.
So Greg Popovich points to the defense because there are 4 to 5 minutes a game where our offense disappears and we can't score. So LaMarcus Aldridge and a commitment to defense. Bill Schoening with the call on the Spurs radio network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I will admit there was another reason for starting this particular segment with a Spurs highlight. I figured it out. As Isaac likes to say, the little, what did you call them? The little trolls in my brain?
Not trolls.
Oh, what did you call them?
Little office workers.
Oh, yeah.
Moving around
right,
memory cabinets.
So I have I have limited space in the brain. Once the numbers fill up the space, well, then I got to wait till a number drops out before I can put another number in. And then, as Isaac points out, I've got little office workers up there who are trying to, wait, is it that number? Is that the number? Is that the guy? What's that guy's name?
Which cabinet?
Which date was that we're talking about? Right. So as I was talking about the Spurs against an opponent who only scored 75 points, what came to mind was the Wizards because they played last night. I was so close. Monday night, the Spurs played the Warriors, a different W team who only scored 75 points. I was so close. Stupid cabinet worker pulled open the wrong cabinet. No, it's my fault. I don't blame the peeps. I just blame my spaghetti plate brain that, sometimes gets the numbers all jumbled, which you know if you listen to me on a regular basis. So the Warriors, missing four starters, only scored 75 points. Last night in the first half, the Raptors put 79 on the board in Cleveland. That's all that needed to be said. It blew me away. Got the wrong date and the wrong team. But other than that, the analogy was spot on. The comparison was spot on. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Some Raptors fans are, I'll say they're not in agreement with what I've had to say about Toronto over the last hour. But that's aight. They've got to prove it. I would expect fans, loyal fans, to be upset with the idea that my idea that this was a bit of a slap in the face, that I don't like how they lost, not this close to the playoffs, that they had 99 points on the board in three quarters and still didn't win the game, and that they were, in my opinion, not taking advantage of this chance to boost their confidence, to recognize this was a playoff atmosphere, and we need this game. We need it like our playoff lives depend on it, because very soon they will. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, you can switch to Geico. And if you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance too, you can get it all at geico.com. Robert is in Dallas. Robert, welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Hey, it just blows my mind every year, ever since D'Antoni's made it to Houston, that the radio stations, the various ones I listen to, that they all say that, you know, Houston's the favorite to, you know, to win the West or whatever. I just don't understand where they get that.
Robert, can I just cut in, please? Yeah. I don't recall that anyone has said anyone but the Warriors are the favorite to win the West in about 5 years.
I mean, favorite was probably the wrong word, but they were one of the two to win the West.
I would say Warriors and Spurs would always be the two. But yeah. I understand what you're saying. You don't like the fact, because you're in Dallas, that they're getting so much attention. They deserve it for what they've done in this regular season, for the fact that James Harden's an MVP candidate. However, they're in the same boat as the Raptors. They've had some very public and high-profile playoff failures until they can get over that hump and get back to the NBA Finals. I mean, they've got championships in their past. The Raptors do not. This is a different situation. But this particular group of Rockets needs to prove it. James Harden needs to prove it. Maybe now people would tell you that they're the favorite in the West, but that's given the current situation. No one has looked at the West over the last 4 or 5 years and said anyone but the Warriors or the Spurs are the favorite. And I mean, the Warriors deserve that. They've been to 3 straight NBA Finals and have won 2 of the titles.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's just the D'Antoni teams, historically, they don't play defense in the playoffs. They, when everybody kicks up the defense, they can't keep up.
Well, I would agree with you that his past, his reputation is not based on D. It's about the offense. He's only been there 2 years, so this is a new system with them. However, this particular version of the Rockets is playing defense. Chris Paul helps with that. I like what Clint Capella has done defensively. I think Trevor Ariza, same thing. This particular team is committed to the defensive side of the ball too, which maybe makes them more dangerous. Robert, thank you so much for your phone call from Dallas. He's not liking it. The Mavericks stink. Let's just face it. Poor Dirk Nowitzki has committed to stay there, and they stink. And the Rockets are getting all this love. But yes, they're in the same boat as the Raptors. They have to prove it too. And I think adding Chris Paul means they've got a couple of layers to prove here. Chris Paul has got to prove it himself because people don't take him seriously in the postseason, only to a point, and the Rockets do as well. 855-212-4227. That's our phone number. Also on Twitter, A-Law Radio. You're going to have to check out why the snow was my fault. Well, not my fault, why it had to happen yesterday. Winter Storm Toby had to happen yesterday. The explanation is pinned to the top of my Twitter.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
In the backcourt, Livers will inbound. There's no defense on it. 3.6 to go. Michigan down 2. Livers gets the basketball. Looking. Throws it into Rockmont at midcourt. 2 seconds. Rockmont off the pool. 3 for the win. He got it. Jordan Poole, the freshman, hits it at the buzzer. And Michigan is off to the Sweet 16. 64-63 is your final.
Hello, friends. Jim Nantz of CBS Sports. You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Awesome. Are you ready for some more incredible March Madness moments? Because college basketball returns. Sweet 16 tonight. And Michigan will be one of those teams featured in Los Angeles. That's one of the regionals. Los Angeles got a lot of stuff going on these days in sports. Sam Darnold's pro day yesterday, the USC pro day, and he did impress in the pouring down rain. They do not play basketball outside, at least not in March, as you know. And so Michigan will host Texas A&M at Staples Center in Los Angeles, and that'll be followed by Florida State and Gonzaga, so one of the teams that went to the national championship game a year ago. The other regional is Atlanta. I know people get tired of hearing Cinderella, but it's just true. Loyola, Chicago, and Nevada, even as a 7 seed for Nevada, to get to the Sweet 16, I want the Wolfpack to continue winning. I just don't know if we need to see Eric Musselman take a shirt off for a locker room celebration again. Just goofy. He's so great. So Nevada and Loyola Chicago, the Ramblers. So it's the Wolfpack against the Ramblers, and Sister Jean will be courtside. That's in Atlanta. Second game is Kansas State and Kentucky. Michigan's buzzer beater by the freshman Jordan Poole is my favorite moment of this tournament so far. Outside of UMBC, of course, that was history and may never be topped again. But Brandon Gauden with the call on the Westwood One radio network. Because March Madness is back now, you want to tune in to TBS and CBS TNT True TV on the go with March Madness Live, or, of course, listen on Westwood One. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Phone number is 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227, and also our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, where the film soundtrack responses continue, but now lots of talk about Raptors and Cavaliers as well, because we're getting close. We're nearly there to the postseason, and I expect it to be, and this is kind of giving myself away, but I'll do it anyway. I expect it to be far more compelling and entertaining than it was last year in the postseason. Now, the reason that's giving myself away is because if you listened to the show last year, you know me. I was selling it because it's my job. I had, you know, there were a couple of series that went seven games. I was trying to find the great storylines and the interesting parts of last year's postseason. I was trying to fight the mainstream majority saying that, oh, it's a foregone conclusion. It's going to be the Warriors and the Cavaliers again, and you don't even need to watch the playoffs because we know where we're going to end up. But you know what? If you missed the playoffs and you didn't watch until the NBA Finals, well, then you missed Isaiah Thomas and his incredible performance in the wake of personal tragedy. And you missed a seven-game series with the Wizards and the Celtics. And you missed some other great storylines, too. But yes, you were right. It did turn out to be the Cavaliers and the Warriors. If you dare to send me a tweet about how this one is a foregone conclusion, I will use you and abuse you for Facepalm Friday, and you will be ripped to shreds. Period. How about that? That made me sound fierce. That's not really a mic drop because I can't, because I still have 10 more minutes to go, but period. End of sentence. End of story.
Hashtag Facepalm Friday.
You will be exposed as a fraud for Facepalm Friday.
Awkward.
Thank you, A-Rod, because if anyone knows awkward, it's you. So it's not a foregone conclusion this year. It feels much more wide open. When you watch LeBron James dominate the way that he did in the second half, and the way that Kevin Love has come back after, what, six and a half weeks of the broken hand, and he's already feeling it. Have you noticed how chummy they are? Very chummy. So relieved is LeBron to have Kevin Love back that they're now best buddies. It's not that they weren't best buddies. They weren't not getting along before, but wasn't it just 2 months ago that the entire locker room turned on Kevin Love and the poor guy had to explain himself for leaving a game after the first half when he didn't feel well, and he had to stand up in front of the locker room and explain why he wasn't there at practice the next day.
A lie gets halfway around the world before the truth has a chance to put his pants on.
Exactly. And Kevin Love, every single offseason for the last 3 years, was on his way out the door because
it's a lie.
He's the problem with the Cavaliers. And even last night when I tweeted that Kevin Love is a difference maker, and it was pretty obvious that he is and that he has been, some guy responded with, nuh-uh, like we're in third grade. Nuh-uh.
People don't like Kevin Love.
I mean, that's true, but let me just tell you, you watch the two of them communicate last night, you see how relieved LeBron is to have him back because it takes some of the pressure off him. And boy, that assist to the corner to K-Love with 27 seconds to go, nothing but net, the three from the corner. I mean, Love was feeling it, and it's good. It's better for the Cavaliers, clearly, and it's not just about him being back and being able to score. It's about getting his sea legs and getting ready for the postseason, for sure. So it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. All of your complaints can be addressed to either Twitter or Facebook. And then you have our phone number as well, 855-212-4227. I mentioned L.A., not only because of tonight's regional semifinals and the Sweet 16 going on, but also because Sam Darnold held his pro day yesterday. And in case you're wondering, the biggest contingent to watch Darnold throw at USC in a steady rain was the Browns. Oh. Just like it was the Broncos with the largest contingent to watch Baker Mayfield at his pro day, I feel like that says a little something-something. Not to mention, Darnold reportedly had a private workout and meeting with the Browns in addition to throwing at his pro day. He does have another workout scheduled with the Giants, and I believe there are a couple of others, though that's not coming from him. His camp doesn't want anyone to know who he's working out for. But there was a big Browns contingent. The owner was there. If the owner, Jimmy Haslam, is on hand to watch a pro day, that should be an instant, That's huge if the owner is on hand, because we know this particular owner is pretty involved in QB draft picks, like Johnny Manziel. I'm just saying, he's gotten involved with the quarterbacks in the past. So Jimmy Haslam was there, along with John Dorsey and Hugh Jackson and even Todd Haley, who's their new offensive coordinator. And they talked to him, they met with him. And he threw about 60 times in the rain. He impressed, which is good, because he did not throw at the combine. He was the only one of the top QBs to refrain from throwing at the combine. He felt like this was a better option for him because he was exhausted. He wanted it to be on his own turf with his guys. I get all that. I ascribed the theory that if you suck at the combine, it can hurt you a lot more than if you excel. If you're a quarterback, you have a lot more to lose than you do to gain at the combine, because you know you still have your pro days to come. And I really appreciated what Sam had to say about this whole process, because like every one of these quarterbacks, he's been criticized for what he's done on the field, what he's not done on the field. He's been criticized for not throwing at the combine. He's been criticized for decisions that he has made. And these guys get picked apart a million ways to Sunday. And yet, like Saquon Barkley, maybe not as arrogant as Baker Mayfield. Sorry, I can't help it. I feel like every time he opens his mouth, there's just a little bit too much me. Yeah. Sam has a good perspective on what this draft experience has been like, even though there's times when it's challenging.
It's been awesome. I mean, just being able to meet all these coaches. I'm really just living out my dream. Anytime, you know, days get hard, you know, especially at the combine when you're up at, you know, 4 a.m. for a drug test and you got to stay up late in meetings, you just think about where else would I rather be. And that's kind of what I think about during those moments. But it's special to be out here one last time at USC, thrown to my guys. It was just a great day in general.
So good for Sam, remembering that, hey, you know what? As much as this can be hard at times, it pushes me, it tests me, I'd rather be doing this than anything else. True. True. Also, this, I don't want to blame the fact that he's a product of the 2000s or that he's a millennial, but this just screams millennial to me.
I showed them the best version of myself. I've been training really hard for this day.
No, that's all you need to say.
I thought I did really well, just like how I would train for any other game. So I thought we came out here as a bunch and we got the job done. The receivers did a great job too.
And I showed them the best version of myself. We should do a poll. How many people who listen to our show, I'm being facetious here, but how many people who listen to our show have ever used that phrase? I showed them the best version of myself. Have you ever used that phrase, Tom?
Me now in control. Yeah.
We know that Johnny Manziel has never used that phrase, for sure. Have you used that phrase? You have?
I may have used the phrase my best self. I feel like it's more earthy, crunchy than millennial, though. Don't you think so? Isn't it more like...
I just know none of my friends have ever used that before. It feels very new agey to me.
Yeah, okay.
Yoga.
New agey is different than
My yoga instructor is talking about the light inside.
Right,
being
exactly.
The best version
but
of
that's,
yourself.
Yeah, okay. I agree with that. It's very yoga. It's very yogi. Oh. You're yogi
so maybe,
in the front. Of, but maybe your
he's
yogi's
gone
not
to
a
yoga.
Millennial.
Maybe he's in my yoga class.
Version.
What was that, Isaac?
All of yourself.
Have you used that in your yoga class?
Namaste. Hell no.
Although Isaac does wear yoga pants, so I'm not sure we can believe anything that comes out of the man's mouth when he's wearing the yoga
now,
pants.
Apparently.
Seriously, what was that all about? Is that something new? It's a new version of yourself?
Better. Yeah, that.
Yeah, I've never said that.
The third best singer on the show.
I'll take it.
Are we including Pete in that?
I'll take it.
Because I think you're the third best out of four if we include Pete.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, cool. By the way, Chubby Bunny, part duh. Duh? Duh. Dough.
With Pete, it's duh.
Chubby Bunny, the second annual version of the contest, is coming next month. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. While we're talking about college football, I just wanted to say thank you, thank you, thank you for passing along the interview that we did with Joel Lanning, the Iowa State All-American linebacker who, you know, sacked Baker Mayfield last year, but also scored touchdowns. He was on both sides of the ball routinely in every game for Iowa State, and he didn't get invited to the combine, and he doesn't really know why. I asked him about that, and he said it was frustrating waiting for an invite that never came. His pro day is inside of the next week. And for the first time ever, we got retweeted by a big-time football school like Iowa State. And hundreds of you have already listened to the interview on our YouTube channel and lots of responses to it. So we're glad. We're glad to get the word out about Joel Lanning. And we're rooting for him on his pro day to really turn heads among the NFL scouts and the NFL types that will show up. So if you haven't heard that interview, it's good stuff. I mean, it's a different perspective because here we are talking about Sam and the other quarterbacks who went to the combine. Think about Saquon Barkley. Yes, he was already one of the best players in college football last year, but his stock skyrocketed and his Q rating shot through the roof after how he performed at the combine. We're fickle as sports fans, right? We latch on to things like that that maybe don't mean quite as much. But in the case of Joel, he didn't have a chance to go to the combine, and he didn't have a chance to meet with all these teams, and so he's already starting this process behind the eight ball. And yet he has such an unbelievable attitude, and he just looks at it as extra motivation. And so I loved the interview. We really appreciate the fact that he was very open and honest about what he wants to prove and the hurdles that he's faced, and also why he decided to play both offense and defense and that Oklahoma game. All of it's really good stuff. So if you missed it, I know many of you have retweeted it or listened to it yourself, but if you missed it, it's on the top of our YouTube channel. I just look for After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Right? I feel like we've covered it all. Oh, the new XM Home, Sirius XM Home. If you've tried to listen, oh, this is bad. Maybe someone tried to tune into 201 last night or this morning, shoot, I forgot the other one, 201, 213. And then we were at 697 or something like that on the Sirius XM app. We have found one home in common on the Sirius XM platform. We are now 206, baby, 206. Last thing, Sidney Crosby goal. If you haven't seen it from second quarter last night, please make sure that you go back and find a GIF. I would play for you the radio call, but it doesn't do it justice. As good as Mike is with the Penguins, it does not do it justice. So please go find it. It was amazing. In the air, redirects this deflection with his stick, and so scores from a puck that's up in the air. It's like magic. Not many guys can do that, but Sidney Crosby made it look effortless. So check that out, too. We'll talk to you tonight after March Madness. Very exciting. We're back with the Sweet 16, as well as more, I don't know, more goofiness. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.